Today, the New Zealand economy in a nutshell. Hello again, this is Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. Well, today I want to dissect some of the latest data from New Zealand. And in summary, inflation and cost of livings continue to bite. More households are in financial distress. Inward migration is at a record high, but the property market remains in the doldrums. All worth thinking about ahead of the general election at the weekend. So first, New Zealand food price inflation slowed to a 14-month low in September, adding to signs that a cost of living crisis may be starting to ease. But it's all relative, because food prices rose 8% from a year earlier, according to Statistics New Zealand on Thursday in Wellington. That's down from 8.9% in August, and the slowest pace since July last year. From a month earlier, prices actually fell 0.4%. But soaring produce, meat, and grocery costs have brought additional stress to households already encumbered by expensive fuel and rising home loan interest payments. Food inflation climbed to as high as 12.5% in the year through to April. Soft household demand and greater consumer resistance to paying higher food pricing may be impacting food retail pricing decisions, said Mark Smith, the senior economist at ASB Bank in Auckland. Resistance to higher prices and lower global food price inflation will see food price inflation continue to slow from here. The pressure on costs of living is a significant issue ahead of the general election on October the 14th, with the ruling Labour Party pledging to remove sales tax from fruit and vegetables to relieve some of the price pressure. Today's report showed that fruit and vegetable prices fell 3.9% from August and rose just 1.4% from September last year. Grocery food was unchanged in the month, but has surged 10.7% from a year earlier. And a report on third quarter consumer price index inflation is scheduled for October the 17th. Provisional estimates from economists suggest headline annual inflation will be around 6%, matching the second quarter pace. The Reserve Bank last week said rising global oil prices could increase domestic costs over coming months, and there was a risk that headline inflation could be higher than expected. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand has said it wants interest rates to remain restrictive for a sustained period of time to get inflation back to its 1 to 3% target. But population growth from migration is up 28.5% compared to pre-COVID levels, according to the latest estimates from Statistics New Zealand. Statistics New Zealand estimates was that there was a net migration gain, that means migrant arrivals minus migrant departures, of 9,464 in August this year. That's up by 28.5% compared to a net gain of 7,364 in August 2019. That comprised a loss of 4,083 New Zealand citizens, as more New Zealanders moved overseas than arrived back in the country after an extended stay away, and a net gain of 13,547 non-New Zealand citizens. In August 2019, there was a net gain of 520 New Zealand citizens and a net gain of 6,844 non-New Zealand citizens. Population growth from migration dropped to just a few hundred a month between April 2020, when pandemic-related travel restrictions were introduced, and October 2020, and turned negative in most months between November 2020 and June 2022. Migration growth then began to climb steadily from July 2022 as travel and migration restrictions were eased, with the net monthly estimated population gain hitting 14,542 in March this year. In the 12 months to August this year, Statistics New Zealand estimates that there was a net population gain from migration of 110,200 people. That's an all-time high. And by the way, it takes around 16 months for Statistics New Zealand's migration figures to be finalised, and the early figures in particular can be subject to significant revisions either up or down. But even allowing for that, the latest estimates suggest immigration is now driving significant population growth and demand for somewhere to live. Nevertheless, the housing market made a lacklustre start to spring, with sales numbers dipping slightly in September. According to the Real Estate Institute of New Zealand, 5,439 residential properties were sold throughout New Zealand in September. That's down 3.5% compared to August. And around the country, sales declined between August and September in 10 regions, including Auckland, down 5.2%, Waikato, down 6.1%, the Bay of Plenty, down 1.8%, Gisborne, down 11.4%, Hawke's Bay, down 2.3%, Taranaki, down 0.7%, Wellington, down 1%, the West Coast, down 25.6%, Canterbury, down 8.5%, and Otago, down 4.9%. Though some regions did go against the trend and posted higher sales in September than they did in August, including Northland up 19.3%, Nelson, Marlborough and Tasman up 10.4% and Southland up 5.5%. However, September sales were up 5.1% compared to September last year, although sales in September last year were extremely low. Apart from September last year, sales in September this year were the lowest that they've been for the month since 2011, suggesting the market remains extremely sluggish heading into spring. Prices increased slightly, with the national median price coming in at $785,000 in September. That's up 2.3% compared to August, but down 3.1% compared to September last year. And the REINZ House Price Index, which adjusts for differences in the composition of sales each month, was up 0.7% compared to August, and down 3.3% compared to September last year. And finally, New Zealand homeowners with mortgages appear to still be demonstrating resilience in the face of the big rises in interest rates. According to figures from the New Zealand Banking Association, over 43% of home loan customers were ahead on their loan repayments, compared to 1.4% of home loan customers behind on their repayments, they said. That shows that many people with home loans are managing relatively well, and it means that those paying more than their minimum repayments will likely build in a cushion in case their circumstances change. It also means they're paying off their debt faster, said the chief executive of the New Zealand Banking Association, Roger Beaumont. In terms of the details, the 1.4% of customers behind on their loan repayments as at June 2023, compared to 1.23% of customers behind in the previous 6 months ended December 2022. And the number of customers ahead with payments dropped. The 43.7% ahead as at June 23 was down from 44.7% as at December 2022. They said that of all banking customers in the 6 months to June 2023, 9,080 had applied for hardship status. That's an increase of 84.9% compared to the last reporting period. The hardship status was granted to 5,655 customers over the 6 months period, an increase of 31.9% from the last reporting period. And they pointed out that there are 9.5 million unique customer accounts. During the last period, 11,090 home loans switched from principal interest to interest-only repayments. In the previous 6 months to December 2022, there were 12,120 home loans that made the switch. Banks are here to help, and anyone experiencing financial difficulties should contact their bank as soon as possible. The sooner you talk to your bank, the more likely they'll be able to help, Beaumont said. During the 6 months of June 2023, there were 40,438 new home loans during the period, which was a decrease of 11.4% from the 45,628 in the 6 months to December. And the average value of those new loans was $382,913, which was an increase of 2.6% on the figure in the 6 months to December 2022. And of the 40,438 new home loans opened, 26% were issued to first home buyers, and the average sized loan for the first home buyer was $546,176. That's an increase of 11.1% from the last reporting period. And they said that as at June, there were nearly 1.25 million home loans across the 1.08 million customers, and the average value of all home loans was $323,463. In terms of credit card debt, they said that for the 6 months to June 2023, 65.6% of cards were paid off in full without incurring any interest costs. That percentage is actually down slightly on the 67.4% figure in the 6 months to December 2022. And they said that while the number of credit card customers as at June decreased to 2.21 million, that's a decrease from 2.23 million, the number of credit cards increased by 1.4%. The average monthly spend per credit card account slightly decreased to $2,004 from $2,121 as of December. And over 65% of people with a credit card are paying off what they owe without incurring any interest costs. That shows a higher level of financial capability among credit card holders, Beaumont said. So if you stand back and think about all of this, firstly, the debt burden clearly is starting to take a toll on some households. But of course, not all households have a mortgage, and those without are in a significantly better position. Secondly, these inflation numbers suggest that inflation will continue to grind, probably sideways, could go higher, depending on what happens to oil prices, and will be well above the central bank's target for some time to come, which means there is no relief in sight in the short term. Property transactions will continue to gyrate a little. I think we're sort of bouncing along the bottom. There isn't really much momentum in terms of moving forward from this point. But of course, migration is a very strong lever of future demand for property. And those migration numbers are very high. And of course, this is a policy setting that was deliberately put in place to try and help top line GDP growth. But you can certainly expect over the next little while for the GDP per capita number to continue to decline. And overall, many households will find that their financial position deteriorates over the next couple of years. Worth reflecting on as you place your vote over the weekend. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.